All right. The House Transportation Committee will come back to order. The current time, it's 1:24 p.m. Thursday, February 18, 2016. Members present are Representatives Kleiman, Millett, Ortiz, Co-Chair Representative Hughes, and myself, Representative Foster. And we will now be taking back up HB 249, which is electronic tax returns and motor fuel tax. I understand Co-Chair Hughes has a CS for the committee's consideration, and is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Bill 249, version 29-GH2912/E.
Thank you. And I am going to object so that your staff can walk through the changes in the CS, and I think if you'd also like to start with an intro, I believe.
Yes, and I believe that the committee is going to pass out copies of the CS to members. And it's running pretty apparent through this process. I have a few reservations and been thinking about things from day one. And those included what would occur when if oil prices were to go back up. Would this be good for the legislature to approve down the road if it were to pass? And also consideration, hearing from a lot of Alaskans regarding reservations with the fuel tax, but if they were to pay it, to make sure that it were, that we did what we could as far as directing those funds back into the maintenance and operation of the infrastructure, whether it be roadways, aviation, or marine related. So just thinking about all those, contemplating those, Mr. Chair, the last couple of weeks, lo and behold, over in the other body, they did adopt a CS that was also addressing some of those concerns. And so they seem to be in line with what I was thinking, and then I added one more that would I believe help firm things up a little bit about where the money goes. And the those three things very briefly have to do with what I just mentioned, a oil price per barrel trigger, a sunset date in 3 years, and then the other is the account. Apparently there is an account that wasn't clear to us before. We knew about the aviation fuel and the federal requirement, but actually there is in statute accounts that have been set up for the other fuels, and this is to firm it up by using the word fund and then making sure that it's not going to pay administrative type services, but that it would actually go into the maintenance and operation of the infrastructure. So that's kind of the in general terms what the CS does. And then my staff, Stuart Kruger, here is here to go through the sectional analysis if you'd like that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Co-Chair Hughes. And Stuart, if you could come up and just put yourself on the record and explain the changes. I think maybe if we could allow Stuart to go through the CS first, and then if we have questions. And I also want to note that we do have Emily Melman. She's from legal, and she's online to further help explain any changes or answer any questions that folks might have. So if you could begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is Stuart Kruger. I'm staff representative Shelley Hughes, here to go through the sectional analysis and summary of changes on the CS. So the first change is to remove the electronic submission of the tax return and report with the Department of Revenue. Emily on the line can I go into a little bit greater detail on that one. Specifically, that's to mirror the change that was made in the other body. So the second change that Representative Hughes touched on briefly is that we're changing in Section 1, starting in Section 1, page 1, line 8, changing the word account to fund. And this is done throughout the bill whenever addressing specific fuel tax funds. And that's to provide a little bit more structure as to where those funds can be directed. Section 2, page 2.
If you could hold this for a moment. Representative Ortiz, was this a question on this? Oh, can you hold, allow him to get through the, and then we'll have questions again. Thank you. Go ahead, Stuart.
Okay, so section 2, page 2 is another change. We added in a trigger figure about regarding the price of oil. If the average price per barrel of oil in the previous calendar year is more than $85, the tax returns the current amount of 8 cents per gallon for dealers. And mining team is kept the same. Section 3, page 3, is a sunset of Section 2. Section 4, page 4, line 15, another trigger figure is added if similar, if the price of the average price of per barrel of oil in the previous calendar year is more than 85, the tax returns to the current amount of 8 cents per gallon. Section 5, page 5, is a sunset of Section 4. So again, in Section 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, we go along with the tightening of the language, changing it from the word account and exchanging that with the word fund. It adds direct capital operating and maintenance costs and specifies infrastructure for airport, marine, and highway. By including the word direct, we are eliminating the possibility of these funds being utilized for administrative purposes, so it just tightens in the purpose of these tax funds and where they can be spent. Section 11, 12, and 13, page 9, line 15, adds two new fuel tax exemptions, the first being Section 13, fuel used in an emergency vehicle as defined in 11.56.825, and 14, fuel used for student transportation services for which a school or district receives funding under AS 1409.010. The next section, 14, page 10, is a refund rate for off-road use as proposed by the bill sponsor. Section 15, page 10, line 10, is a sunset of Section 14. Section 16, page 10, we replace the word account with fund. Section 17, page 10, moves the exemptions from the motor fuel tax out of the definition of motor fuel, appearing at AS 43.10100, Section 2. And into the body of the motor fuel tax law, the 2015 manual of legislative drafting states substantive provisions of law must not be hidden in definitions. The current motor fuel tax exemptions are in direct violation of that rule, and Emily on the line can expand on that a little bit more too. Section 18, page 12 is applicability. Section 19, page 12, transitional language aligned for regulations to implement the changes. These are all basically technical cleanups from legal. Section 20, page 12, immediate effective date of Section 19. Section 21, page 12, effective date of July 1st, 2018 for Sections 3, 5, and 15. And then Section 22, page 12, effective date of July 1st, 2016 for the bill except Sections 20 and 21. That's a quick run-through of the sections.
Thank you, Stuart. Representative Foster here. So just to be clear, like if you look at page 1, on sectional analysis, it says section 2, page 2. Mm-hmm. It clearly says that if a barrel of oil hits $85 a barrel, it goes up to that amount, then the tax returns to 8 cents per gallon for dealers. Mm-hmm. And that, so that would be bringing the 16 cents down to the 8 cents on
the
dollar.
Yeah, reverts back to the current tax level.
Right. And then on the aviation and marine, I didn't see specific reference to those in the sectional analysis here.
No, maybe section 4. Let's see.
Oh, because, for example, I think the aviation went from 4.7 to 10, and
yes,
that would revert back also. All factors revert back.
You're referring to Section 2, that changed. I think if you go down to Section 9, Section 4, that's where they bring in the tax on aviation, gasoline.
Okay. So looking at page 1, Section 4 here, it says trigger has been added. If the average price per barrel is more than $85, the tax returns to the current amount of 8 cents per gallon, but on aviation it would actually be returning down to 4.7 and 3 point something, I believe. Is that
okay? It would just revert back to current levels. So
we may have a lifeline here.
Yeah.
If you look below that in sections A, B, it talks about those specific fuels. In other words, except that, these fuels, it reverts down to.
Oh, Commissioner, would you mind coming up and just for the record, if you could.
Sorry.
Thank you.
So on Mark Lucan, Department of Transportation, Public Facilities. If you look at Section 4, Page 4, there's the bold. So they're talking about dropping down to an 8 cents per gallon on all motor fuel consumed by user, except that the tax on aviation gasoline under A is 4 and 7 cents a gallon. So it's reverting, it's basically referring to reverting those taxes also back to their original. Does that make sense?
Yep. And I see that language here in the CS, so thank you. I just wanted to make sure it was clear that those also revert back to all
clear,
taxes.
It's clear in statute, Mr. Chair. And again, this is Stuart from Representative Shelley Hughes' office.
So, go ahead, Stuart.
But it must just be kind of a clerical error in the sectional. So.
So we've got some questions. First, we've got Representative Hughes and then Ortiz.
Yeah, and I thank you, Mr. Chair. I failed to say that Stuart Kruger is actually filling in because our committee aide for me, Kim Swantek, is went home for her sister's wedding, and so Stuart really kind of is stepped in at the last moment, and we were putting the section analysis together quickly. So thank you for your understanding of that. I also wanted to mention that I didn't say in my introductory comments. Is that trigger part of that? Not only was I thinking of it, but the Alaska Aviation Advisory Board had also mentioned that they wanted to see a trigger, and I just thought I'd mention that. And then just my general comments, which I probably don't need to state, but I have had hesitation about imposing taxes at this point when our budget is not down, just because I'm concerned about the families that will bear the cost of the various taxes, not just this one. And yet I do know that as the bills move through the process, they could end up going on the floor and possibly passing. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to sideboards in the bill, which I think are reasonable, and I'm hoping the committee will see them as reasonable in the event that the bill were to pass, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make those comments. Thank you.
Thank you, and Stuart, you're doing a great job. Good job of filling in. I appreciate it. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stuart, can you tell me about the figure of $85 for the trigger? How was that determined? How was it 85 as opposed to 80 or 90 or something different?
That is a good question, through the chair, Representative Ortiz. I think it was designed to mirror the changes that were implemented in the other body, and I think it's. I don't know if we have a representative from the Department of Revenue in the room right now.
We do.
I think it looks like we might have.
Yeah, I think we have Ken Alper here, who may be able to speak to that as a means of.
Ken, if you could come up and put yourself on the record, and if you are understanding of some of the discussions that occurred in the other body, if you could let us know what the thinking was in determining that number.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sure. For the record, my name is Ken Alper. I'm the director of the Tax Division for the Department of Revenue. I'm sorry, I missed your name. The Stuart's analysis is correct. The $85 figure does mirror the change made in the other body. The bill passed out of the Senate Transportation Committee earlier this week. The thinking of the chair of that committee, Senator Machicki, was that $85 roughly reflects the point at which the so-called minimum tax falls away on oil and gas, and we start increasing the amount of money we make on the incremental dollar in the price of oil at a much more rapid rate, that the core tax system of Senate Bill 21 kicks in. So our revenue problems start diminishing more rapidly as the price goes past the $85 figure. There is a reasonable conversation can be had about what's the appropriate point for cutting it off, but that's the number that that committee settled on, and my understanding of Co-Chair Hughes' wishes is to parallel the changes made over there.
That makes sense. We've got a question from Ortiz, and then we'll go to Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ken, for being here. So a little bit more information on the $85 figure. Is that the point where we would start to be able to balance our budget in terms of with increased oil revenue, oil tax revenue, we'd be able to balance our budget, or would we still have a significant deficit at current spending levels and things like that?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, that is an excellent question. No, in the current fiscal year, 16, we estimate that the budget would balance at the price of oil $109 a barrel. And as you almost have to laugh to yourself while saying that number out loud, but 2 years ago, that was a very normal and rational number to think. If the price of oil were $85, we would probably still have around a $2 billion per year deficit, given current conditions and budgetary realities.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is kind of as I understand the way this proposed statute is written, this $85 trigger would come into play whether it went to $85 in 2017 or if it went to $85 in 2037.
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, there are really two different components to the alternative tax regime. In a year in which the price goes above $85 in, say, 2017, the tax falls away. However, there's a built-in sunset in the language of the committee substitute that, regardless, the tax increase goes away I believe, July 1st, 2018. I believe the intent is to bring the issue before the legislature 2 years from now to see, do we want to continue the increased tax regime?
So follow-up. So the sunset provision is actually designed to make the whole thing go away in 2 years.
Through the chair, Representative Coleman, the tax increases would go away in 2 years. There are other secondary provisions of the bill, for example, increasing the exemptions for school buses and emergency vehicles. My understanding is that would remain in permanent statute.
Representative Hughes?
I just want to make a comment and follow up to those remarks. As you look at the various tax proposals on the table, some are more regressive than others, and I would make the claim that this might be the most regressive. When I think of someone in my community paying the motor fuel tax, and I'm thinking of the various commuters, someone who is making low wages is likely to drive an older vehicle, which is not gas fuel efficient, whereas someone making a higher salary is likely to drive a newer car that is more fuel efficient. So if at some point the price of oil goes up, I think it is one of the first taxes that needs to go back onto the table and be reconsidered, and thus the need for the sunset, thus the need for the trigger. I don't want to punish the workers in my area, any place in the state that are struggling to try to make end meets, and I do think we need to think about what is regressive, and this one is a very regressive tax, in at least as far as the motor fuel piece goes.
Thank you. We've got a question from Representative Vortes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess this would be more of a question for fellow member Hughes. We all share your concerns about that particular issue, and wanted to make sure that as we move forward with any type of revenue package, we always look at the regressive nature of it. When you say it's the most regressive of the different proposals that is out there, would you also include that if there were to be a change in the way that we do our permanent fund process to a significant level, would it be even more regressive than that?
Representative Hughes?
That's a debate, but I think actually in a sense it would be, because of the different type of vehicles that people drive, and provides an equal amount that is, would be taken from a PFD, but with the fuel, actually, the lower income person is actually paying more to for a 100-mile trip than a wealthier person with a better car. So yes, I would say that it is.
Further questions?
Actually, I'll just make it brief. I don't really want to turn this committee hearing into a debate, but what tax is fair, what tax is regressive, what tax is not fair, what tax is not regressive, what tax is more equitable or not more equitable is a very complicated question. I appreciate Representative Hughes' perspective. I will just note that I don't agree.
Okay. So, I guess, are there any further questions in the committee? Seeing none, I'm going to remove my objection, and if there are no further objections, then CS for House Bill 249, version 29-GH2912/E is adopted as the working document. And so with that, is, will they agree with this? Are there any other questions or comments here? Okay, well, with that, we'll be taking a public testimony on the CS for House Bill 249 in our next meeting, which will be on Tuesday, February 23. And I guess before I do anything, am I missing anything before I join out? Okay, I'm not? Okay.
Do you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Okay, well, with that, we will be adjourned at 1:44 p.m. Thank you, everybody.